Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 355. So we had a laugh before we started, so that worked out. That timed out well. I got the smile out. Josh was actually occupied, so he wasn't trying to make me... Well, because normally you're the one...
You got the smile and Josh was occupied?
No, I'm saying Josh wasn't actively trying to make me laugh, and Tim had just texted, so that was funny.
Okay. No judgment,
Fair enough, I appreciate that. So... I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Josh.
Pat.
Weather's a little crappy, so Dave decided to not come.
Original recipe.
Yes. Young Dave. But...
Wouldn't he be the original recipe?
Yeah.
If he's the older one?
Yeah. So
between
Dave's
the
extra
two,
crispy?
That's the problem, is I couldn't call it Dave extra crispy.
Okay. Fair enough.
What would you call him? He's not original recipe. He's not extra crispy.
I don't know.
Nashville style.
Grilled.
See the rotisserie?
Grilled. Oh.
See the Kenny Rogers roaster?
Fair enough. Ahoy announced their second wave of books, but I told Dave we would wait and talk about it next
Ahoy.
Week. Ahoy. Ahoy Comics. And they have four new titles coming since these first four are wrapping up. Their first.
All minis?
Well, I think just maybe their first arcs are wrapping up.
Okay.
Like Captain Ginger, the first arc wrapped up, but definitely is not the end of the story. But I appreciate them going slow and not trying to flood and getting in trouble and things like that. I just saw.
Have they had anything come out late?
Nothing's been late. I don't know if anything's, I'm not paying super attention, but nothing's been like a month late or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't, overall, I think it's been timely. So, and I will be beating everybody over the heads with when the graphic novels come out, because Captain Ginger was fantastic. Dave keeps raving about The Wrong Earth. Edgar Allan Poe is just silly. Not in a bad way, just in a...
I read the first one. It was good.
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed it a lot. And then, was it Higher Earth? No.
It was Wrong Earth.
Yeah, it was Wrong Earth. Oh, High Heaven. Sorry, I can see it from here. Da-da-da. My fancy new specs, yeah. Without my specs. Yes. But High Heaven was their fourth one, so... So we will talk more about their new lineup that I really didn't look at, because that's Dave's thing. Don't want to steal from Dave.
Dave is not here, man.
Bleeding Cool reported there was some shakeup going on at DC today, so I'm sure we'll hear more about that tomorrow. So we'll see if any of that is true or not. It was no rumor, just a rumor of something going on, like they were having some meeting right then.
But that could mean anything.
Oh, I know. So we don't know anything about what's going on there.
They're being sold to Marvel.
Yeah. More covers.
That would break the internet.
That would be weird.
Might get a decent Batman movie.
True.
Gotten decent Batman movies.
But I don't really remember any other news. I do apologize.
Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, they did get nominated for an Oscar.
For 7 Oscars, but Best Picture.
Okay.
Which was the first time a comic book movie did that.
But not the first one that would, even if they win, they'll be the second to win, or at least the second. The Suicide Squad won for Best Costume Design for...
And Heath Ledger won Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, did he?
And,
okay.
Yeah.
But I just always go back to Suicide Squad being a winner of anything.
Well, and a lot of the Marvel movies are nominated and or win for, like, visual effects and
Fair
sound
enough.
Design and that kind of stuff.
Fair.
Costume design.
Okay. You guys ready for questions?
We are.
We have questions. Nick asks, when it comes to your personal stash of bags and boards at home, do you find you end up with one more than the other consistently? And it's funny because I'll do a whole case at a time. I'll bag and board a whole case to make into the 50 packs and stuff. And most of the time, they're right on. So I will say that about BCW. Just dawns on me, the Pac-Man machine seems a little loud today, so just Jeff came and cleaned out the Pac-Man machine of all its money, and he always leaves some credits in there for me so I can play for free. And but when it has credits, it plays the song like over and over. Yeah, so that's the noise in the Pac-Man back. Jermaine had asked me what that weird ambient sound was during Pac-Man the podcast. And that's what it is. It's the Pac-Man machine. So, but the only way to make it go away is to turn it on, turn it off, and turn it back on. But then I lose my credits. So you know what? Free Space Invaders is Free Space Invaders. So you guys are gonna have to suffer. I apologize.
I'm surprised it picks up that sound.
I didn't think it would either, but yeah. He asked that. So I don't know.
But pick up Dave, and he's like 3 stars.
True. True. So, any bag and board issues for you guys?
Happens occasionally.
Yeah.
I haven't bagged and boarded in a long time. So it's gotten to the point where I need to do it, but now it's so daunting.
Mm.
I understand. I feel your pain.
Really?
I do.
Yeah, I've never.
It's fun for like the first 10 minutes, and then. Very quickly.
Well, I don't have a problem like the actual bagging and boarding, but the taping.
The taping, the alphabetizing, the pricing.
See, that
if only they made a bag that didn't require.
But then you have a million of those things that drive me crazy.
You open it,
keep one of these sitting right there as you empty it, and then you just shove them all in there.
But then they always stick to my hands. I pull it out and. I hate them. So, James from Harrisburg asks, do you have an order of how you read your books each week? Do you start with
good
the best?
To bad.
Do you start with the best books and go downhill from there, or save the good stuff for last and end on a high note? So personally, I read the number ones that I'm most interested in or needing to push first, but then I'll also read the ones that I want to read the most, like Batman I'll read first and then I'll read a one. Type of thing. That's how I do it. The ones I'm not that interested I carry around for about 6 weeks before I put them back on the shelf. That's how I do it. Spencer, when is Nightwing read?
Later. But normally what I do, it depends on if I come home tonight and I'm not too tired, I'll read something that I really, looking forward to, the good, but then, if I don't have time and the next time I'm reading something at work, is at a break at, work, then I'll say, I save those, the ones I'm not so thrilled on to read there, and the good ones that I'm really looking forward to, while I'm home and kind of have more of a time and opportunity to kind of, take my time and enjoy it more rather than, something I can just blow through in a couple minutes on a break or something just to give me something to do.
I feel that way, too. There's times where, somebody asks if I read something. I'm like, no, because that one's going to take a while. I can blow through a Spider-Man if I'm kind of tired.
Yeah.
But there's some, I forget specifically what it was, but it was maybe like Doomsday Clock or something where it's like, no, I want to really read this.
Yeah, I
typically read the ones that I am most excited for first, and then I end up with some that I want to read, but for some reason just I'm not as excited about reading. And then those end up sometimes not getting read before the podcast, and then I try to read those before I read my next set of books. But I should say, those are the books I probably just shouldn't be buying in single issues and should just read, in collected editions or whatever, but I'm stupid, so I don't.
And Colin appreciates that.
I want you to buy it. I mean, get what you like. I don't want you buying things you don't want. That doesn't do anybody any good.
As long as you buy. Yeah.
As long as you get something. I don't want you reading things you don't like. That doesn't help anybody.
I pretty much do the same thing, because if I started on the bottom of the pile and try to build excitement, I get halfway done and be like, yeah, I'm done. But I've also cut back my list at a point where if I don't like something, I stop buying it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, I've been compelled, I got it. I gotta keep getting it. I think probably the only thing close to that anymore
is Walking Dead.
Yeah, Walking Dead. And it's like, I've been on the journey this far.
How far back do you have in single issues?
The 90s.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, I think like 93 or 94.
Oh, and then we have one more question.
Just one?
This is, well, kind of. Well, yeah. This is Aaron. Now, I've never met Aaron, but Aaron has a store out in Iowa. I believe it's Alter Ego Comics out in Iowa. And just somehow stumbled upon her through some other person. You know, like she was following or made a comment on somebody else's page, so I followed her because she, you know, runs a store. Mm-hmm. And I can't say we have a friendship, but just talking to each other. And she was the one that told me I won the award because she was at the Diamond Summit where they announced the awards. And that's the one where I got the award for the best midnight release. So she
tweeted. It was pretty, though, but yeah.
But she tweeted me and said, "Are you at the thing?" She's like, I'm like, "No." She's like, "Did you hear?" I'm like, "Hear what?" And then she sent me a picture. So I thought that was nice.
You won, bro.
Yeah. But so she asked, can you please talk about Free Comic Book Day and how it's not free for retailers, so don't be rude or greedy to your local retailer? We're ordering the Free Comic Book Day books right now. Their order's actually due tomorrow, and it's one of those kind of snuck up on me. I know they've been due in January for a while, but just getting to the order late because it's due Thursday. So if there's anything you want in the previews, let me know. Just looking at the books and trying to figure out numbers is really daunting, just because...
That's a crapshoot.
It really is, and the books this year are really a crapshoot. I'm looking at them, and I honestly don't have a clue, because so many of them I look at and go, you know, I'm never going to sell this book in my store that it's promoting.
Right.
So I really don't want to invest a lot of money into getting a book that, you know, is not going to generate any income. Like, there's a Captain Canuck book. Why don't you order the book anymore? Because it didn't sell for, like, 8 straight issues. I'm like, okay, done. I tried. So, you know, do I really want to get a lot of a Captain Canuck free book to hand out?
Sorry.
The other problem, which Aaron is kind of alluding to, is that they're not free to us. They cost us between, like, 25, or I'd say 20 cents to, I think the highest one I saw was 37 cents a piece, which doesn't sound like a lot individually, but when you get 50 books, and then I always supplement it with some stuff like the dollar books and things like that. Remember, like, if somebody grabbed one of everything one year, it was over $30. So if you're just running, grabbing everything and leaving, thanks. I especially dislike it when people say, "Oh, I didn't even read last year's books." It's like, then why are you grabbing them? You know, you just took $30 out of my pocket, and you didn't even bother to look at them? Okay. Not cool.
But it's free, man.
Well, yeah. But again, like she's saying, free to us. No. And it's also, there's a lot of time and effort. Shipping costs, you know, because those books are not light.
And I did that, I think, like, the first year or so, where my eyes were bigger than my, you know, capacity for you know, time and reading.
Right.
Instead of taking the work and I put in, like, public, you know, libraries, which surprisingly got a lot of you know, traction. Like,
okay.
I would, because one spot where I put in, like, release, just like chairs and a little table, like, across from my office, I'd see people sitting there all the time reading comics, which is good. But yeah, after that, then I started scrubbing, like, what will actually read, what will actually, you know, be excited about, and then cut it back, and then.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I always do it. You can have whatever you want, but I do ask, grab, you know, if you have no interest in, you know, the Pokemon book, don't buy it. Don't grab it, because some kid's now not going to get it, because, again,
well, also,
I can only order so many.
If everyone grabs all those books and doesn't read them, it's not even a matter of someone else may not be able to get to read it, but you may then next year say, well, people took this many copies of the books,
right.
I'm going to order that many again,
yeah.
Or more, when in reality they're not actually, you know, used.
Right, nobody's actually reading them, and I know that happens a lot. So, and I, you know, I'm ordering a little bit less. A couple years ago, I went completely insane and ordered a boatload, and then had long boxes worth left. So, you know, I don't want to run out too fast, but I definitely want to run out that day. I don't want to be storing this stuff. So, but yeah, but I mean, you know, we try to, you know, I mean, it's always a huge sales day for us. We always have, you know, it's packed. We have lots of people. We do the, you know, the grill and everything, which, you know, it's not that expensive for the food. But yeah, so yeah, spend a little money. The more you grab, the more you, you know, buy something.
Yeah.
But be nice. Ooh, no, yeah, but ooh. Be nice, too, you know. Yeah,
don't be an asshole. Yeah. Be like, oh, I'm grabbing 6 copies.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. I wanted one for my cousin, and no. He can't come. Yeah.
If they want the book, they need to get their ass in the store themselves.
Or you read it and give it to them.
If you have a friend or cousin who is terminally ill, maybe an exception.
Yeah. But also, they're not collectible. They're not worth anything.
Come in here.
That's why I sticker them.
No, a lot of the times, unfortunately, past few years, it's been a reprint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Image is doing Spawn 1 again. It's like, why?
Why? You know what?
You get it out of the dollar boxes.
Yeah. But giving those away. I think because there's a new movie or something coming. But still, it was one of those, really?
Can't beat the original movie. John Leguizamo.
One that didn't have a cape.
He's our man.
Those are all the questions I have. I don't really have a ton else to talk about. Just a goofy week for me.
Goofy hell.
No, just goofy, just in that I wasn't really paying attention to any news and stuff, and I wasn't really...
That's not really goofy.
Not goofy, and I didn't read a lot, sadly.
There's just not much news.
There isn't. No, because I'm not... I mean, it used to be we'd go on to CBR and stuff, and I only go to Bleeding Cool if somebody, like, literally directs me there for something, like somebody did today about the DC thing. So, what, Tim? Stop yelling.
That's, yeah.
Man, do you see it? Oh, this guy.
So,
yeah. I mean, Tim's on top of the news, but he's not sharing because that's just how he is.
He knows if you talk, it captures your soul.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Tim's like, you can have my soul.
I'm not using it.
So, Pat,
yeah.
What 3 books did you read?
Okay, well...
Was one Captain Ginger?
No,
one okay, was... Okay, cool. So that one's going to be mine.
Phew!
Yeah, you're good on that one.
I'm going to say you probably didn't read any of the 3 books I read, so...
Okay. I read Dark Ark, and so they finally made it to dry land, and all the beasts are... celebrating, the vampires are basically, you know, licking their chops like, okay, well, I guess we're going to eat these humans now.
What issue are they up to now?
I think it's 14. Yeah, it certainly has had more legs than I thought it would have.
Yeah, I agree.
And it continues to be interesting because there's new demons that are out and they're now hunting beasts, and what it seems like is they're the source of Shrey's magical abilities. But they don't really like him either, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And of course, they're waiting for Noah to show up because he apparently is still out there somewhere.
That sound reinforces our argument. That the machine just made.
Yeah.
Was that the machine made that noise?
It was either the machine or Tim, and I don't think it's Tim.
If Tim made that sound, then Tim has a different career he needs to be going into.
There you go. So, yeah. Then I read Detective.
Oh, I read Detective.
See?
I didn't write it down.
So, I don't understand... Well, I mean, I understand because he's Batman, but the first page, after he kicked everybody's ass, you're not kicking a whole asylum's ass yourself. It just ain't happening.
I mean, it has to be like, let one out at a time, beat him up, put him back in the cell, let another one out.
But even then, unless you're taking, like, you know, a couple minute break in between, and after he interrogates the first guy by beating the hell out of him, no one else is, like, everybody knows what the deal is. You know, they always show Arkham as the cells are facing each other, you know. You beat up Mad Hatter first. Okay, well, when he goes into Riddler, you know what's going to happen, so you just start throwing punches the second he gets in. Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Yeah. He's... You know, clearly pissed about what happened to Leslie, and rightfully so. There was a cool scene, though, with him and Damien.
Yeah, that was a nice scene.
You know. Now, I'm not sure what the beef is between them, because I'm not reading Teen Titans.
So, I remember whenever he went off to go, Resurrector, whenever he went to join the Teen Titans, that he and Batman had kind of a tiff about it. Because they were still reading at that point in time.
But isn't that any Robin that goes to join the Teen Titans, they always, has a thing with Batman?
Right, but it always makes them better. It makes, Tim Drake a better leader and Dick Grayson a better leader. So why would you not have Damian do that? And,
maybe that's part of his, training is to give them a hard time while running this separate team. Maybe,
Yeah, but, I mean, Damian's personality is so... He doesn't care that he's alone. At least on the surface, where...
He cares. He just doesn't want to show it, but he cares.
Right. But whereas, with Dick Grayson, it's a little bit different. I don't know. But yeah, I thought it was a really cool scene, but I'm like, okay, I don't know what they're fighting about.
Because they haven't been shown together in a while.
Right. Well, yeah. And then that's... I'm not reading the Super Sons book or the Teen Titans book, so I don't know if maybe that was playing into it. But.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a Batman or Robin book in so long.
Well, there hasn't been one since he
resurrected Damian. Which did have the coolest bat suit ever. The Hell bat suit was awesome. So.
Agreed.
But, yeah, decent issue. Not spectacular. I don't want to say they're shaving everything up for 1,000, but it's... They're shaving something for
it. Yeah.
My only complaint is it feels like all of the Batman books, like Batman Detective and Batman Who Laughs, are doing these similar, weird multiple Batman mystery kind of stories, and it's making it confusing for me because I feel like they all sort of kind of, bleed into each other.
Yeah, Batman and Detective, certainly, there's been a couple times where I've confused what was going on in one with the other. I thought that Leslie Tompkins had died in Batman.
I thought too, but it was Detective.
But this one had Ducard in it, and that was the other thing. I forgot that nobody was Ducard's son, and Damien had killed him. Yeah. I remember Damien had killed him because in the Super Sons book... The girl nobody was his daughter. And I remember at the beginning, that's why she went after Damien. But I forgot that it was Ducard's son.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but it was all right. And then I read The Batman Who Laughs.
I didn't get to that.
You didn't get to that?
I read that.
I also read that.
I'm really confused with this. The Batman we're following, I don't think is main continuity Batman. And the reason why I say that is because Alfred is definitely not acting like main continuity Alfred.
I think the story is following two different Bruce Waynes. I think we're seeing the main continuity one, but we're also seeing the before becoming the Batman Who Laughs Batman. Because wasn't the one that was all injected in the serum, that was the one that became the Batman Who Laughs, right?
Yeah, but isn't that the main Batman in the story? Isn't that why he has all those...
No, I think because no, like, the one...
The bulk of the story is main continuity Batman going up against the Batman Who Laughs... But I think, in the very beginning, when you see the Batman Who Laughs, or you see you see Bruce Wayne there with all, the syringes in him, saying he has about a week left before he's going to, turn.
Yeah.
I think that is the Batman Who Laughs.
See,
to contradict, though, the story that was in Metal.
I was thinking that was one whole Batman.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Because with him, because he, in this issue, he is disguised as Bullock, and then I thought from there goes to fight the Batman. I don't know. I mean, I might be reading it
See,
wrong.
That's, and that's the thing. That Batman, I think, is our Batman.
Yeah, I agree.
But the Batman that had the Joker on the table with Alfred, and Alfred's like, let him die. We didn't really kill him, just let him die. That one I don't think is ours. But I have a hard time thinking that that's the Batman who laughs, because they showed us his origin in Metal, and that wasn't it. He turned into the Batman that laughs instantly. Not, you know, oh, I held it off for a couple weeks and tried to hold him on the table. Maybe it is, but that didn't make sense. I'll tell you what I really liked, though, was the scene where the Batman who laughs was in the elevator with the guy.
Oh, with the blind guy.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And then the Grim Knight is a third Batman who...
He's like Punisher Batman.
Yeah, and he's working with the Joker who laughs, or the Batman who laughs. But I'm not exactly sure why he would.
By making him somehow.
And that was the other thing, though. At some point, he said something to the effect of, I was born right before my world died. So, like, it kind of screwed, and I get each one is, that their history's a little bit different. But the Batman who laughs should have been normal Batman up until the point where he becomes the Batman who laughs.
Yeah.
If he came from a dead world, it doesn't make sense. He would have progressed the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all confusing.
Goddamn multiple timelines.
These Bat books are confusing right now.
But it was good.
Yeah, it was good. Jock art is fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, the art was really cool.
One guy caught a battering to the face.
Yeah.
Three.
Dude, yeah, he got three to his face. And it was the one where he was, like, cutting a guy's arm off.
Yeah.
It was, like, he was weirdly positioned, but he was cutting one guy's arm off and, like, stabbing at another one at the same time in a weird pose. That's pretty cool. That's the other thing I don't understand is it was, because it was the voice recognition, like, the DNA would have been the same, theoretically. Well, no, even the DNA wouldn't have been the same. Because that was the whole idea, that the Joker toxin would have corrupted him. But I wouldn't think that his voice would be a match for our world's Bruce.
You would think it would or wouldn't?
It wouldn't be.
Oh.
Under the influence of Joker toxin, I think it would be different.
Well, maybe he can, like, change it.
He's pretty in control of himself, so.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he probably couldn't talk, like, maybe it's, like, just enough that he couldn't, like, talk like him for, like, the whole day, but to just, you know, to act.
Say what he has to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Because, I mean, he's Batman, so he always wins.
That's true.
He's got a good point.
Because I'm Batman.
And that's the problem when you have multiple Batmans going at each other. They're all Batman.
Yeah, except the Grim Knight's willing to do whatever it takes, and the Joker, or the Batman who laughs, he also has the Joker in him, so it changes everything. That's what I read.
Alright, Justice League Dark. Anyone reading that?
I heard good things about it, though.
It was really good. It was, the issue almost felt like an anthology. And it felt very much like a Tales from the Crypt.
Yep, that's what Tim was telling me.
With Kirk Langstrom being the Crypt Keeper.
As normal form, or as in, like,
Man-Bat form?
Man-Bat form.
As in Smart Man-Bat form.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
He's been that from the beginning of the series.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like
Professor Hulk.
Yeah, that's what it
is. Yeah, like he changed his serum around a little bit, and so he's not... he's not quite as big in a rage of anger, so he's a little bit, you know, like, smaller.
Despite all his rage, he's still just around the cage.
Flying around the cage, but yeah.
And has all of his, you know, intelligence and faculties, so. But he's kind of like going through saying how he's been having his nightmares because of different things they've been dealing with in the past, you know, few days and weeks, and recounting some of the missions. Like he wrote up, you know, reports on the missions and recounting those stories. So it's going through different missions they went on that are dealing with the other kind. And there was like one that had iVampire in it. One that had Shade and Frankenstein in it. The one with Frankenstein was almost like they were, they went out to this submarine that was out in the remote Arctic. The entire crew was dead. The captain killed himself, took a recording of it, and at the end of the recording they heard, like, it sounded like a small animal eating something. And they go out there and discover, it almost felt like a matchup of The Thing and Alien. And they discover that there's all these, like, the crew had died from these, like, looks like offspring of the other kind, like the dude with the, looks like no eyes and the like, just sharp, like, razor teeth. And they all come, like, bursting out of one of the corpses and start attacking Frankenstein and Wonder Woman, and she escapes. But they're just completely devouring Frankenstein. So you see, like, these little creatures, like, in his brain, like, in holes in his arm. It was just a really cool layout and page. But yeah, it was a very fun, very, very cool book. I liked it a lot.
Because you read all the Justice League books,
yes,
don't you?
Mm-hmm.
How would you rate the three?
Well,
I mean, like, which ones are you enjoying the most out of? Like,
I like them all. I probably...
Like, if all three of them came out in a week, which wouldn't
would
be that
say,
surprising, which one
would
you read first?
I would probably be third for me. And then for me, I think Tim would disagree with me, but I think I would put Justice League Dark first. I think Tim might say regular Justice League first, but they're close. They're both good. But yeah, I think consistently Justice League Dark I like better. Superman. No Superman readers?
Yeah.
Jonathan Kent is back. 17 years old.
How old was he when he...
10. 7 years older. Only gone for 3 weeks, but 7 years have passed.
Hmm.
That's the opposite of how it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there was a black hole when he spent more time in space than they think. So, from his perspective, he's gone for 7 years.
Hmm.
Just him, though? Not Lois?
Lois came back pretty quickly. So this did show, like, the beginning of their trip, and showed kind of why Lois decided that she really wasn't needed there. At one point, they came into contact with the Dominators, I believe, and John Kent and Jor-El were able to take care of them pretty easily, and Jonathan Kent was very, he wasn't a liability, he was very much assertive and kind of in charge of the situation, took control of the situation, so... That's the point where she realized that she really wasn't needed there, and then she came back to Earth, so she wasn't a liability, essentially. And then in the story he's telling the story of, you know, when she was there and then what happened after she left. He says, and shortly after she left is when he realized that, you know, Jor-El, or this person who's saying he's Jor-El, is insane.
Mm.
We don't really know what, you know, why he's saying that exactly, but apparently they said they got trapped in a black hole and things happened, but... Yeah, so 7 years have passed. I like the story. I hope this is not a permanent change with Jonathan Kent, making him suddenly, you know...
I doubt they're going to take him back.
I just think it's dumb to suddenly escalate...
Especially when you just introduced Connor back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you introduced
Connor
back. And everyone liked the dynamic of that family.
Yep. Derpy derp.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, isn't one of the things...
That's why we can't have nice things.
The thing that it might just be... It's not even actual Connor. It's like Superboy Prime. like that something. Or,
I think that was just because the image on the cover kind of evoked that.
That's it. Again, it's just headline, saw on like an article, didn't actually read article.
And then the other one I read is Supergirl. Which I love. Supergirl is one of my favorite books every month now. Like, I've been really enjoying this. Her and Krypto are, like, you know, on this, like, they're like space detectives on this mystery trying to figure out what actually happened to Krypton. But she's just a freaking badass in this book. I like that she's been taken out of the realm of Earth and out of the shadow of, you know, Superman and the other heroes, and just can kind of stand on her right. Like, in this issue, she's been captured. She's at the Citadel in the Vega system. She's being interrogated by Harry Hokum, and you know who Harry Hokum is?
I don't.
He is an Earthling who's kind of like a scoundrel and trying to
scoundrel,
yeah.
Like Harry Mudd?
Kind of like Harry Mudd.
Okay. When I think of scoundrel, I go right to him.
Yeah, he's kind of he felt like Harry Mudd mixed with the Collector.
Okay.
To me.
Okay.
So he's trying to interrogate her, and he wants to use her cells to try and use this Kryptonian cloning technology to kind of make an army of Kryptonians.
That'll work out well.
Yeah. And so she is trying to bide her time. She,
I was trying to hold it in. Like,
wow.
Sorry.
She was depowered, but she managed to trick this Marion into using their solar abilities on her, so she got a bit of a charge, but didn't make it known right away. And then when she is then taken to captivity and she's in a cell and about to break out, suddenly a group of people suddenly storm into the prison and ends up being the Omega Men.
Cool.
So that was neat. This is, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. The art's been great. The story's been great. I've really, 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 really been enjoying it.
Good.
That's it for me. What's up, Burpee?
Amazing Spider-Man. this is the last issue in the Jonah getting his award arc and is kidnapped by, it turns out, the son of the big man.
Oh, okay.
It's the son trying to get...
It's a little man.
Yeah, trying to get...
Little big man. There we go.
Because
great movie. Oh, sorry.
They reveal throughout, the history of Jonah that I guess whenever his father first died, he told him as a boy that he, you know, I'm going to get Spider-Man. Spider-Man's the reason that your dad died. You know, I'm going to... And then... So ever since then, he kind of looked up to him, and now recently, since he's turned pro Spider-Man, when he found out that it was Peter, this guy's upset with him, so he wants to get revenge on him, and that's so he gets this big man, like big robotic machine, made, and he's controlling him, and they Spider-Man's able to stop him, but in like a last ditch effort, the son tries to have the robot self-destruct. But he webs it up and is able to throw it away so it explodes but doesn't take, you know, doesn't hurt anybody and stuff like that. After all that is done, Jameson is finally able to get to Kingpin's award for him. And he shows up all injured and beat up and stuff. And Kingpin's like, oh, you finally made it, because he's stalling, trying to tell these bad stories until he finally shows up. And he's like, hey, where's Spider-Man? He's supposed to give you the award, because, you know, he wants a photo op with Spider-Man since he's the mayor of New York now. He's like, Spider-Man's not coming. He's like, and you're a crook. And, you know, just, you know, and basically takes his award and tells him to, like, shove it and stuff like that. So Kingpin is all angry, and the issue ends up with the Scorpion, because the big man's son also hired the Scorpion to, you know, as one of his henchmen to try to take out Spider-Man. And so he's like in the alley trying to get away, and Taskmaster and I think it's the Black Ant And I think he's like, he kind of looks like Ant-Man, but it's like a bad guy. Shoots him with some kind of like tranquilizer dart, and whenever he wakes up, he's in a cell with the Vulture, Tarantula, and like two other villains that I'm not sure who they are. So somebody's gathering up like low-level Spider-Man villains for something. But that's where the that issue ends. But no, they're really enjoying this series. Uncanny X-Men. The big ten. Did you ever get caught up, or did you just read?
No,
the last
I just
issue?
Jumped ahead and read it. Yeah,
you didn't really.
No, it didn't look like I missed a lot. But, other than it was a little confusing who was fighting who and all that.
Yeah,
they're coming for you, Pat.
Yeah,
but so leading up to this, X-Men took over Legion's body and all of his powers, so the X-Men are fighting him.
Just to bring the car back. I'm gonna give myself a
look. Where, so Jean Grey and the other psychics try to get into his brain to try to separate the two, because it's like they're going up against two Omega-level mutants that are, like, merged together. And after trying to talk him down, because it turns out that X-Man is dying, so that's why he was on this big, trying to, you know, Messiah kind of fixing the world, because he wanted to, you know, do something before he died, but then it just kind of all got out of hand. But it turns out after they defeat him, all of the X-Men vanish, which I think is what that, like, new age of apocalypse stuff that those four minis, I think that's where they're at. But I read I won't talk about it now, but that came out, the annual that came out this week, but I'll talk about that next week, but I kind of like the direction that they might be going after this whole little event thing that they're doing. The Flash?
Didn't get to it.
I mean, it's more the same hint, Flash, and that, the guy who has that, what's his force power? The guy who can, like, feel the feelings and kind of read your thoughts, that guy.
The Sage Force.
Yeah, the Sage Force. It's more just a lot of them going back and forth trying to figure out, can we trust this guy? Can we trust this guy? I'm starting to, like how you were saying for the last issue, just kind of waiting for this kind of story off to kind of wrap up, and want them to try to go and do something new with this title.
Which book are you talking about? Sorry.
The Flash.
Okay.
I mean, they've been good, but it's just,
yeah,
I think at least this part of the story needs to be
dragging on.
Yeah. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 20 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first, because I guess IDW's been out for 20 years, so they're taking a lot of their big titles and telling, like, a one-shot story that either takes place 20 years in the past or 20 years in the future. So this story takes place 20 years in the future, where the U-turns that Krang's race is trying to come back and terraform the planet again with another tetradrome, and just all these different kind of changes through, like, Leonardo he can, like, travel and go to, like, the astral plane now, and kind of has, like, these new paranormal abilities. Mikey's actually in charge of the team, with, like, Raph being, like, his, like, kind of, like, right-hand man with, you know, come up with strategies for whenever they have to attack and stuff like that.
Michelangelo's in charge.
Yeah.
And Raph is his right-hand man.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound right. It sounds like it should be the other way around.
But, I really kind of like this. It's just, like, little one-off story. The art was really well in it. The story was good. And then the next total book I read was the Shredder and Hell first issue. This was a book is beautiful. It looks fantastic. It follows Shredder in hell, where he's at literally fighting a lot of demons and stuff like that, and he finally meets up with Splinter, and because Shredder's like, what are you doing down here? And Splinter's like, well, we all die at some point, so don't, you know, I'm just, because they show when they were kids playing and a little bit older, and like they had this like in the lore they had about like this dream, whenever you die, this like dream tree that you kind of went to, and it kind of help you get to the path to like the afterlife and stuff like that. And it shows that Shredder's been actually, since, you know, he was born centuries ago, is like inhabited by this dragon demon, which is, you know, kind of fearing him being like this like, you know, trying to take over the world and stuff like that. Just kind of cool dynamic between these two characters that literally known each other for centuries. And it ends with them trying to get to like this gate, and they run into like what, like, you know, Shredder's biggest I don't know what we feel, but kind of like obstacle, and it's like the Ninja Turtles, but like it's kind of like these evil looking dynamic kind of Ninja Turtles, which ended pretty well. And then the last one was Gideon Falls. This one I don't know if answers is what we get, but they kind of start explaining some more. It's a lot of back and forth between these two characters, and I don't want to say too much without you having to read it, because I don't know if it's anything necessarily spoilery, but there's a lot of like cool things in this book that I think you like, and that's it.
Okay.
So what'd you read, Colin?
I read a couple. I read Captain Ginger, but I'll wait for Dave to really get into it, but it wrapped up the first story arc really, really good. They're able to solve a couple problems through some
friendship
advancements. But it was really good. For not being a cat person, this is really, really good.
Do they
really
ever have any
part
of the cats doing catnip? Like,
there was some catnip at
one
point. Yeah, no, just the whole thing has been really, really good. A lot of fun. Invaders number one. This is Chip Zdarsky, which is normally he's a jokey, laughy kind of guy, but this was more of a serious story. It's a little bit going back to World War II. Namor's, one of his friends who's one of the GIs during World War II is killed in the war, and he kind of loses it, and this other guy is kind of like their liaison. And then it comes to the present, where Cap sees what happened with Namor, and he's like, we need to take care of this. He starts talking to, I think it's Jim Hammond, who was the original Human Torch. You also have Bucky involved. But then there's this liaison, and they go visit him in the present, and
I thought the original Human Torch was a robot.
It is. But he still had a name.
Oh, okay.
But they went to this liaison guy who actually named his daughter Namor and stuff. And
who gives a robot a first name and a surname?
I don't know. I didn't do it.
Yeah, David.
And then they realize
the last name.
But, RoboCop.
Like, yeah. he goes to give Steve.
Murphy. He didn't have a first name.
He goes to give Steve, like, this scrapbook of their time together, and the daughter's like, no, you can't give that. And a picture falls out, and he picks it up and realizes it's from the time when Namor didn't know who he was, when he had amnesia, but it was with this guy. So he knew him then, even though everybody thought he was lost and stuff. This guy had something to do with that. So, dun-dun-dun, going, you know, past mystery. Interesting thing is it had two artists. Butch Geist did the World War II stuff, and then somebody else did the current stuff. It was a real nice transition. But, you know, distinctive but not harsh.
Not
it was planned, as opposed to, you know, some of these books where they're not. And then the last one I read was Conan the Barbarian, number 2, which was really good. He's in the woods kind of hunting these, I guess, like natives that he hates and wants to destroy. And all of a sudden these giant black snakes come and start attacking, and he's taking them on. And then like gets, I guess, bit enough and gets knocked out. But the healer from this tribe of people saves him. And he, while healing, kind of learns that they're not as bad, not what he thought they were. So, it was really good.
They are what we thought they were. They are. Off the hook.
So yes. Conan's been better than what you thought?
Conan was good. Well, the problem is it's Conan. Conan the Barbarian. Sorry, thought I'd muted that. It's what we thought they were. You know, it's what I thought they was. You know, it's not real mainstream. It's still Conan the Barbarian. So, but it's been really good. Jason Aaron has done a very good job with these. I commend him.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Coming next week. We got a lot of stuff. We got action. We got Age of X-Men Alpha, the first part kicking off these miniseries. We have Amazing Spider-Man number 14. We have Bloodshot Rising Spirit number 3. Detective 997. Doctor Strange number 10, which I think is also like number... some number for them, 500, 600.
Okay.
Elvira, The Shape of Elvira, which is riffing on The Shape of Water, because it's Elvira and the creature from the Black Lagoon. So we have Fight Club 3, number 1. Now I want to pause for a second on this one. Chuck Palahniuk, who wrote Fight Club and has written Fight Club 2 and Fight Club 3, is amazing at... promotion, and he sent me a box of goodies. I got more signed arms, signed severed arms. Who doesn't like a severed arm? I have some signed books, some signed comics, all sorts of stuff for this. So we're going to do a raffle, and basically it's going to be based on people that pre-order and people that buy Fight Club 3 number 1. You'll get your name thrown in. You pre-order, I'll throw in some extra tickets under your name, and if you buy it, I'll throw some tickets in under your name, and we'll pick some winners.
Free arms,
free books. I mean, like signed novels, you know, like, you know, like really, really, really cool stuff. So, yeah, I completely commend Mr. Palahniuk about this. The funny thing was I had just sent Tim like for coffee or to the bank or something. And he called to make sure the address was right. And I'd talked to him twice out in Portland. He's come to the Comics Pro meetings. And so I got to talk to him again. Then Tim got back. Tim was a big fan of his. So I'm like, and he could have just as easily taken the phone call. And I think his mind would have been blown. But, oh, well. Sorry, Tim. We have giant size.
Did you let him know when he came
in?
Oh,
of course. Like,
guess who
of
you
course
just missed.
I did. Giant size jingles, number 1. I have no idea what this is, but I just thought that was funny. Heroes in Crisis number 5 is next week. That one's kind of picked up from the last issue. Journey into Unknown Worlds is another one of the Marvel copyright books. Justice League Annual next week. Justice League Odyssey number 5 that people are enjoying. Lone Ranger 4. Man Without Fear number 5, the last issue of that miniseries before Chip Zdarsky's series starts up. As well as the end of the Marvel Knights 20th anniversary little mini. Mysteries of Love in Space. I saw the cover today, which was quite hilarious. It's DC kind of doing a little fun love book, you know, for Valentine's Day. And on it, it's Lois saying, "Darkseid is the love of my life," with Superman in the background walking away sad. I just thought it was very funny, especially that Tom King and Mitch Gerrits had fun with that. Peter Cannon Thunderbolt is another one of the Dynamite public domain books. Previews is next week. Speaking of what, previews is next week, which means it's due this week. I'm finishing up the order. It's due Thursday. Today, when you're listening to this, it's due. So if there's anything you want, let me know. We have Star Trek 2020. I don't know if they're going forward 20 or backwards 20, but that's next week. We also have Star Trek Q Conflict number 1. So who doesn't love Star Trek? Josh loves Star Trek.
Spencer's love Star Trek.
I bet he doesn't either.
No, I'm not a
burp if
guy.
You love Star Trek. Oh. Teen Titans has an annual next week, too. And then there's one word. I remember I was intrigued by this one. It's from Dark Horse. W-Y-R-D, word. So, finishing up the month strong, lots of good stuff. Again, the previews order is due, so please let me know if you want anything. It's the... the Spider-Man month is wrapping up, as well as we have book club on Friday, which is Umbrella Academy that I actually did read. I read it before the actual book club, and it was really good.
Yeah, I finished reading it this week, too. Yeah,
that was good, and I'm looking forward to the show. Speaking of shows, the first episode of Deadly Class was on. I thought that was really, really good. That was a strong show.
You're sold out of the book club book again.
I have one coming tomorrow. I get my reorders on Thursday.
I was going to grab it today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So that's coming in tomorrow. I had that. So I think that's all we got. Josh!
Well, where can they find you? Did you do anything in
just
find
come
you?
Here.
All
right. Just come here. No, but the website's PittsburghComics.com, Pittsburgh Comics on Facebook, PGH Comics on Twitter and Instagram.
I was trying to help.
He was helpful.
I was leaning forward.
I know.
I was about to deliver, and oh. Then...
And somebody interrupted you, or did something, or opened a bottle? What?
Yeah, it's really rude.
It is, I know. So, Josh? Wait, now...
It's fine. When I mention you the talk, you're not going to like it.
That's a mother...
Hey, now, don't be saying that.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.